I invite you to open your Bible with me to the fourth chapter of Philippians, Paul's epistle written to the Philippian church in the fourth chapter, Philippians chapter 4. We're going to take as our text this afternoon two very familiar verses from Philippians chapter 4. Praying that the Spirit of God would work in our hearts to receive these verses in a new and a fresh way. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Where the Holy Spirit writes, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I don't think that we've ever been so aware of fear and anxiety in our world as we have the last several weeks. For three solid weeks, the entire national conversation has been about one thing, and our world is very unsettled. There are a variety of opinions regarding the coronavirus and our nation's response to it. But even if you are one of those that chalks it all up to media-driven hysteria, we still all live in a world that is very different than it was just a couple weeks ago. The economy is very uncertain. People have lost years of savings and retirement accounts. Some of you have lost your jobs. We're isolated from one another. Our daily routines have been greatly altered. We carry burdens of time and energy that just a few weeks ago we had knew nothing about. And the future does seem a little bit uncertain to us. When will this end and when will we be back to normal? And the hearts of God's people are not immune to these kind of cares. Truth be known, there are probably quite a number of us who have been wrestling in the past days with some sense of fear or insecurity or some inability at some level to cope with the circumstances and with our many challenges in our lives. And on top of that, there is in our church a number of people who are really heavily burdened with unusual and urgent trials. My concern this afternoon is that because of the state of our society and the state of the economy and the unusual circumstances that we find ourselves in, isolated from one another, because of the truly unprecedented times that we are living in, my concern is that what can happen to us in a situation like this is that we as individuals and as families can become very, very heavy laden, very burdened down with care. And even in our own households, it can become, without our realizing of it, an atmosphere that's a very heavy, an anxious kind of atmosphere. We can end up raising our children in the most precious years of their lives in a home in which the atmosphere is saturated with a despondent or a discouraged or a despairing spirit. When what we need and what our children need is, and what most magnifies the Lord, is a trusting submission to God's ways. The fact that He's always a good master all the time. That He's wise in all of His ways. That He's loving. And that His disposals in our lives are just right. Really believing that and having confidence in that from the Word of God is essential to having the right disposition and communicating that not just to the world, but to those who were primarily charged to disciple, those in our own homes. We need and we want to be communicating to our homes the wonder of the things of God and our absolute confidence in His promises and the assurance that we are secure all our days and for all eternity, that nothing can touch us, but that God not only allows it, but He's directing it for our good and His glory. But we know that there are many obstacles to living that kind of consistent life. And primary among those obstacles are cares, the burdens and the cares of life. These have a tendency to weigh down our spirits. Do you find yourself this afternoon burdened with care? What are your burdens? What are your cares? What are your fears? Perhaps you, like me, have realized that in recent days that you've been living with a heavy spirit that's giving all the wrong impressions to your family and to a watching world. If this is you, then what we need to do is to learn to take God at His word. And to realize that there are no answers other than Bible answers. What do we do with the trials of life? What do we do with our anxieties? How do we unburden ourselves scripturally? There's probably no better passage in all the Word of God than Philippians 4, 6, and 7 to give us counsel about what to do with the cares of this life. If you're burdened down in your spirit, you don't need a pep talk. You don't need therapy. You don't need some secular counselor to come to you and tell you, look, it's not as bad as it seems. Time will heal everything. You don't have anything to worry about. Look at all the other people that are worse off than you. That'll make you feel better about your own circumstances. Don't worry, it'll all turn out right. You don't need some sort of empty truisms like that. That's not what this passage does. What the passage we have before us does is it implies that Christian people do have cares. Christian people are not exempt from cares. And then it counsels us exactly what we are not to do with our cares. And then it tells us what we are to do with them. And then it makes a promise. If we will heed to the Holy Spirit's counsel here, it makes a glorious promise to each of us as individual God's people. So this afternoon, I want to preach to you about casting your cares on the Lord. Casting your cares on the Lord. You know, Scripture is very open and candid about the fact that Christians have very real cares. And scripturally, our cares fall into three different categories. There are, first of all, what our Lord calls the cares of this world, or the cares of this life. Our life, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, our body, what we shall put on, the necessities of life, are often our cares. And think about how much of our thinking is taken up with those kind of cares, and how much that category of cares has a tendency to affect our emotions. Eating, clothing, the necessities of life. Think of how much our spirits have really become burdened lately over those kind of things. Our thoughts can be given over to fretting about those kind of things, can't they? Will the store have what we need? Will we be confined to our homes by an order of the government? I'm not sure I can face a future that involves 4 weeks of distance education. How will I be able to retire now with what happened to the stock market in the last 2 weeks? Am I going to get laid off? What if someone I love contracts this illness? These are the cares of this life. They are real. They are legitimate. And the Bible does acknowledge this, that the cares of this life are real and that Christian people do have those kind of cares. And then you have another category of cares mentioned by Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 when he talks about the cares of having a wife and a family. Remember, there he's counseling regarding the responsibility of taking a wife and having the care of a wife, and he uses the same word. And it really is the case that when a man takes a wife, he is shouldering a significant responsibility. Now there's the care of not only providing for yourself, but also the care of this other person. And two people living together in marriage, the cares multiply. They don't just double, they actually multiply exponentially. And then you add children into that equation. And many concerns that we have involve our children and their maturing and their development. If they manifest any waywardness, if they begin to manifest any inclination to resist our parenting, then that is a great weight that descends upon our heart. And if you add to that marital tension that is often the part of even Christian homes, family cares can really keep people weighed down in their spirit. And there's a third category of cares alluded to when Paul talks about his care for the churches, when he gives that list of all of his sufferings in the Corinthian epistle. And if you have accepted any responsibility in Christian ministry, you have additional possibility and temptation toward anxiety. There are cares involved in Christian ministry. And boy, the servants in our Christian school have found that out lately, haven't they? In transitioning to a distance learning program, the care of being involved in Christian ministry. Now, the Word of God takes all of this and it sets it right up on the table and it acknowledges it. Someone says, "I feel so burdened with these circumstances." And God concedes that. Scripture is candid and it's open about the many cares and concerns and burdens that we carry. But when we look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, which of those cares may I be full of care about? For which of those cares am I allowed to be anxious? This passage tells me. This passage tells me what it is legitimate to worry about. And the answer is, be careful for nothing. Now let's be frank. All the cares that we have enumerated this afternoon all fall under that word, nothing. Nothing's a universal word. There aren't any cares. There aren't any cares that fall outside the scope of this prohibition. God concedes that we have many cares. And then in spite of that, he prohibits us from any anxiety about them. This passage outlaws anxiety. Well, how do we square this up with real life? God candidly tells me that life on a fallen planet will be full of cares. And then he forbids me to be careful, to be anxious. That word careful comes from a word that means to be divided, to be distracted. It refers to a state of mind when it feels like you're being pulled in many different directions. You ever feel that way? You felt that way about your job in the last couple weeks? A state of mind where you feel like you're being pulled internally in many directions? The Christian life has its many distractions. And the question is, what will we do with them? We can respond to them sinfully and cast about in our mind a way of solving this ourselves. And we generally call that anxiety or worry. Or we can respond to them biblically, which is just what this passage is about. What am I to do with my cares? God concedes that I have them. The Bible is candid about the reality of these cares. So what do I do with them? God is not here directing us away from personal responsibility with any of our affairs. What he's doing is he's giving us the true answer to dealing with these cares. It's exactly what this passage is about. We are not to be careful for anything. Be careful for nothing. Now look what follows. But in everything. So just as we are not to be filled with anxiety about anything, God provides for us something to do that is just as universal as the nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And then comes this next universal statement, in everything. And everything that the nothing forbids, the everything includes. So all of the cares of this life that the Bible concedes are very real. They are not to be dealt with in a certain way. They are to be dealt with in this other way. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. And then what follows in verse 6 are four terms for approaching and communicating with God. And what we have here in these four terms, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and letting our requests be made known unto God, what we have here are a set of steps. These words are placed here in a certain order deliberately. Paul is not just haphazardly throwing out synonyms for prayer, just so we get the point that we ought to pray about it. Think of these as steps to take, stepping stones to take. I want you to look at these words in that kind of light. These aren't just four ingredients that are mixed together. These are actually steps to take, each one taking you a little bit higher. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Then you let your requests be made known unto God. And so look at the first word with me. What are you going to do with the things that have you depressed or fearful or anxious? Here is the counsel of God. Number one, prayer. Prayer. This term is the New Testament's most general word for prayer. And since it's followed by three more specific terms, it seems to me the thought here is that he's talking about, in general, quieting your heart and getting prayerful, becoming prayerful about this care. It's the Lord directing us not towards some sort of specific form of communication, but to communication itself. It's as if God is saying, in everything, speak to me. Speak to me. Prayer is the approach to dealing with every anxiety that you have in life. Whether it's personal, whether it's your household, whether it has to do with some relationship outside of your family, whether it's societal, whether it's financial, whether it has to do with spiritual responsibilities within the household of God that have become immensely challenging to you, in everything, by prayer, you will attain a right atmosphere in your heart. I want to ask you this afternoon, Have you taken that care? Whatever it is on your heart right now. Have you taken that care into the secret place of the Most High? Have you done that? You have large houses compared to most of the world. There is a place in your house that you can go and you can be alone. You can shut the door and you can quiet your heart before God and pour out before Him what it is that's causing your anxiety, what's causing your stress, what's causing your discouragement. You can enter the secret place of the Most High. You can talk to God about it. What you must do is quiet your spirit before the Lord in real, earnest prayer. And that being the case, what is it that we specifically say to Him? Well, the second term in the chain is the term supplication. Supplication. This term refers to someone begging for something that he doesn't have. It's someone who's in a position where he knows that unless another person gives it to him, he will not be supplied. There's no possibility of him attaining this to himself. He's a supplicant. He's a beggar. Now, what we tend to think is, yes, that is exactly my case, and that's why I worry so much. There's nothing I can do about it. Well, what we have to realize is that as long as we are worried and anxious about these very real cares, as long as we are worried about them and anxious about them, we really mentally have not taken the place of beggars. Because we're still thinking that if we can cast about it enough in our minds, if we can come up with some kind of solution, maybe we can think of something that we can do. But a true supplicant, a true beggar, knows that there's nothing that he can do. The thing's completely out of the realm of possibility to him. He basically has no opportunities or options except to ask somebody else. So when we find ourselves in these circumstances, when something is so weighty on our spirits that it becomes controlling, that it attains a power over us and over our disposition and over our communication and conversation, when we find ourselves so distracted mentally by some care that we cannot even command our minds to read our Bibles in the morning. Have you ever been there? Okay, there's a way to rid yourself of that. And it is to finally come to grips with the fact that you can't solve this. So become a supplicant and talk to God like a beggar. Tell the Lord, this thing is completely beyond my reach. Communicate to the Lord your personal knowledge of your utter inability and beg, beg as a supplicant. But before you make your request, look at the third term. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now that's the most difficult one of all, isn't it? Even if I can exercise the faith to go to my knees and relax my grip on this thing that I've been clutching as a great worry, even when I have attained to the grace where I can open my hands to the Lord with it and say, you know best what to do, and I can't do anything, and will you please take this, and however you deal with this, I'll be accepting of that. Even when I have the faith to do that, as hard as it is to do those things, it's even more difficult to approach the Lord in a time of pain, in a time of tremendous loss, in a time of great disappointment, in a time of really horrendous pressure, and still be thankful. And this really is an acid test of our spirits, isn't it? Can we approach the Lord with thanksgiving? I want to ask us all a question this afternoon. What is the background of God expecting that of me? What stands behind God's expectation of me being thankful for everything? There is a Bible answer to that. Can you think of it? What do we know about everything as God's people? What do we know as those that love God and are the called according to His purpose? What do we know? What assurances do we have from God about everything? We know that God works it all together for our good. And you are going to have to bring yourself back to that again. Do you accept that? Do you receive that? Or are you ignoring that? Or rejecting it? Or avoiding it? Of course, you would never reject a plain statement of Scripture like Romans 28, but are you doing your best not to have to apply that text to your care? You have got to grasp, we have all got to grasp by faith what God holds out to Christian people who are in circumstances such as we are in. This is what God holds out to Christian people in every circumstance. And if we are going to reject that, then what business do we have asking Him for anything else? What God ordains is always right. And it's always good when it touches upon one of His children. So be thankful. This is not a psychological gimmick telling us that we ought to somehow imagine ourselves in a worse situation and it could be worse, and that'll help us feel better about things. That's not what we're doing here. This is reality. God's people, having God's promises, have a real reason to be thankful for everything. Because He's ordaining all things and working them to their good. And God has every reason to expect us to be thankful no matter what our circumstances are. He has every reason to expect gratitude from us. And then, once you have exercised faith to talk to God about this, and once you've assumed a position before God of a beggar, and once you've come to the point that you can approach God thankful for what He's doing in your life, though you do not understand it, then, and not until then, you get to make your request known unto God. And this really is how it had to be. If you stop and think about it, this is how it had to be, this process. Every parent understands this. You simply cannot give to your children even things that they legitimately need if they are cranky and complaining and accusing and fault-finding and proud and bitter and self-pitying. You can't open your hand when they have that kind of attitude. It would damage them to do so. They must come under control. They must submit themselves. They must sit down and be quiet. They must ask with humility. And then, as a parent, they have all your heart. And you're ready to give them all they need and more beside. And the same is true with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. If we come to the Lord and we're grumbling and we're complaining and we're just so heavy laden that we're communicating to everybody that God is a hard master, you know, we really can't do that, especially in front of our children. We cannot be communicating to Him in days such as we live right now, where things are more difficult than they were 2.5 weeks ago. But we certainly cannot be communicating to our children that God is a hard taskmaster. And we certainly don't want to have the kind of disposition that's treating God as if He's rejected me, as if He somehow betrayed me. That is often is our spirit before the Lord in difficult times when we're burdened down with cares. And when we're like that, when we're a wordless book communicating those kind of things, God really, for the sake of His honor and His cause, He just can't open His hand when we're like that. He has got to wait until He has our cheerful trust and our gratitude for His mercies, which are, in spite of all appearances, new every morning. He's got to wait for our spirits to change. So it's no wonder that there is a progression here. And then we're finally in a position to make our requests known unto God. I want you to think about that four-step approach. Think very deliberately now of what it is that is most distressing to you. God says that you are not to be filled with gnawing anxiety about that. In every one of them, no matter what it is, talk to Him. Assume the position of a beggar and be thankful for His mercies and steadfast love toward you, and make your request known unto God. And you know what the great blessing is of this text? The great blessing of this passage is that it doesn't say what we would expect it to say. We would expect verse 7 to say, "And your needs will be provided for," or "and your circumstances will be greatly improved." But it doesn't say that. Instead, what the passage does is it goes to the greatest need I'm actually feeling. When I am burdened with a care, the greatest need that I am feeling at that moment is a need for calm in my spirit, peace in my heart. Isn't it true, as a child of God, that we don't mind being poor as long as we can be at peace? It's when my poverty robs me of my peace that I'm distressed. And I wouldn't even mind having the coronavirus if in that I can rest before the Lord. The thing that the whole world so craves is peace, calm. And all the things that they are trying to attain, that they're mad to attain and to avoid, are just simply the things that they have come to believe are the avenues of obtaining that peace in their heart, which they can't seem to find. Well, here is a passage promising peace in your heart. That as you make this approach to your Heavenly Father, and you do this deliberately, that it will change the atmosphere in your being. And that's really where we need the miracle to happen. When we're burdened down with a care, It's not so much the precipitating event which has us grieved, but the downtrodden, despondent spirit that we have because of it. And what the passage addresses is that greatest need, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And there's no doubt about that. It is a promise from God. You've experienced it yourself. You've seen it in other people. You've watched Christian people suffer, haven't you? You've seen them deprived and reduced and humbled. And time goes on and the pressure mounts and the trial is unabated, and yet they're at rest before the Lord. And you say, that's beyond understanding. And that's exactly what this passage is promising. It's exactly what it's saying. What God will do is He will keep. The word is guard, garrison. He will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The image of John Bunyan's Holy War comes to mind. When Emmanuel was king of man's soul, he had a man who would patrol the gates of the city. And the patrolman was called Mr. God's Peace. If you will quiet yourself before the Lord, and if you will come to Him as a beggar, grateful for His mercies, if you will cast your care upon Him in the form of making request, Mr. God's Peace will patrol your soul as well. And you'll be relieved of that inward panic and that despondency, which is so often our complaint when we're living apart from this kind of living. And why does the verse say, in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why, things to emphasize that the key to this whole dynamic is our personal relationship to God through Christ. This is not a psychological four-step program. Do this, do this, do this, and you'll have some stress relief. This is not what this is about. This is not therapy to relieve your mind. The key to this is knowing Christ and deepening your relationship with Him. Not being content with merely acknowledging in your head, but really relying on Him for your daily burdens. As Peter says, we cast all our care upon Him, assured that He cares for us. And think about this. When you really understand these verses, it helps you understand why God sends the anxieties in the first place. Because those anxieties are intended to do what? To get me down on my knees. To get me down on my knees and talking to Him. And I'm sure it is this way with many of us, that we can actually go for long periods of time without any real heartfelt communication with God until He squeezes us a little bit. And then He finally gets us to talk to Him. So, dear congregation, I want to encourage you this afternoon. What are you going to do with your burdens and your cares and the uncertainties and the pain that is plaguing your mind in these unprecedented days? Draw near to God. stop casting about in your mind for some self-made solution. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. All your anxieties, all your care, bring to the mercy seat and leave it there. Never a burden that he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for the divine counsel of Your Word that meets us at our very point of need. We pray that You would give us a submissive spirit regarding the things that we have seen in Your Word today. We pray that You would give us grace to heed this instruction, that You would give us faith in Your promises, that You would keep us from leaning unto our own understanding, but may we know Thee in all of our ways and mature this body of believers to cast all their cares on the One who cares for them. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.